This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, so start texting in your petties. 713-572-4610. Getting a few of them on there. We will get to them, I promise. The PettyCast. Show is petty all the time, but at 8 a.m. on Tuesday, we take it up a notch and we highlight our own petties. We highlight the petties of those around the world. And Seth, a once great New England Patriot and host here at Sports Radio 610, once told me back in 2017, nobody is more petty than Bill Belichick. Nobody. And that
nobody.
That person was Ted Johnson.
If Belichick were to learn that he was being heavily featured on our PettyCast, He would have an assistant somewhere write our names down.
Yes.
Just in case.
Yep.
Probably would never need it, but just in case.
Yep.
You'd want to know.
An assistant who he may or may not be sleeping with. Exactly. Exactly. Before we get to the petty Bill Belichick audio from his CBS interview on Sunday, he's promoting a book. We all know the story. He's in the last 10 months ago, he found a woman by the name of Jordan Hudson, who's in her mid-20s, and they're in a relationship. Reportedly met on a plane. We will hear him getting asked about where they met shortly. But she is not only his significant other, but also his assistant. She says chief operating officer of Belichick Productions at the bottom of emails, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
But she is, put it this way, Seth, regardless of what the title is, she's heavily embedded in both Bill Belichick's business and the business of the University of North Carolina football program.
Right. She's attached on all emails involving anything PR, media, or anything like that.
That's right. That's right. So Bill Belichick did this interview with CBS Sunday morning. It was an 8-minute interview. It was an 8-minute piece. I don't know how long the interview was. Reportedly, the whole thing was a train wreck. We got more and more details coming out. We're going to play some audio from it in just a second. Petty audio. But the reports involving Jordan Hudson and her involvement, if you watch the video, if you watch the interview, you know, she was sitting off to the side at a desk, kind of monitoring everything. And reportedly, as you're going to hear in a minute, she was heavily involved in the overall shaping of the interview and the questions, to the point where at one point she got so frustrated, she walked out of the room and they had to sit around for 30 minutes waiting for her to come back.
Yeah.
There was a long delay.
Yeah.
And the University of North Carolina Athletic Department is reportedly, according to TMZ, very concerned about her involvement with the program right now.
She looks, like in the snippets you see from this interview, she looks very much like an overly eager and aggressive PR type person that just wants to try to control anything and everything.
Yep.
And those people are annoying whether they're somebody's girlfriend or not.
That's
but especially
right.
especially when it's somebody's girlfriend.
Somebody's girlfriend, and she's just like overbearing. We'll get to her in a second. This was this might be one of the more petty things we've seen in a long, long time. Robert Kraft, Bill Belichick's book is about his life in football. Zero mention of Kraft in the book, not even in the acknowledgments.
I have to ask about Robert Kraft because 24 years together, 6 Super Bowls. Unless I'm wrong, he's not in this book. How come?
He's not. Well, again, it's about my life lessons in football, and it's really more about the ones that I've experienced directly.
He's not even in the acknowledgement section.
Correct.
Okay. And his girlfriend of 10 months, Jordan Hudson, is in the acknowledgement section.
And it's about, what's the title of the book?
The Art of Winning.
The Art of Winning.
The Art of Winning.
Right.
Yeah.
Which in the NFL does involve a certain relationship with the owner. So, yeah,
yes.
it's curious that the guy actually owned the team that, you know, provided the environment for which you won all those Super Bowls. Yeah, just completely absent from the book.
If nothing else, he hired you. He gave you this opportunity that is allowed, you know, your performance
after
dictates.
After you've been run out of town in Cleveland.
That's right. That's
you think
right.
You would have been smart enough to draft 2 quarterbacks?
Yep.
Not likely.
Maybe this is why Belichick is so petty. It seems there's a disagreement over exactly how the relationship was severed a couple years ago.
Do you feel like you were treated with dignity and respect when you were let go by Robert Kraft?
Yeah, well, it was a mutual decision for us to part ways.
He said fired.
It was a mutual decision.
Okay. It was a mutual decision.
Mutual decision,
there was,
yeah.
In an interview last fall, he talked about it briefly, and he said, I kept him for 24 years. I didn't enjoy having to fire him. So there was at least one instance where Bob Kraft said that he fired Bill Belichick.
Okay, well, there you go. So Belichick petty about that. Now, this is the cut.
Do you believe Bill or Kraft in that? I actually believe Belichick.
I do, too.
Kraft's a weird dude. Yeah. Belichick's weird, but in more of like a normal weird way. Like psychotically football coach type of way. But Kraft's weird in a billionaire weird way, which is just, that's like, that breaks all the boundaries down.
It was conducted more like a mutual thing. Like, it was, they had a press conference where the two of them were sitting next to each other. You never see that for a firing, you know?
Can you imagine if you mutually broke up with somebody and everything's cool, and then you find out that she's been running around telling everybody she dumped you?
Yeah, that's what that is.
That would drive me insane.
Yes, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. To the point where I would lie and say, no, I dumped her. Yeah.
I'd have to release the hard drive after that.
Yeah.
Sorry, girl. Yeah.
It's a good thing about a divorce is that one side needs to file it and the other one needs to accept the documentation when the courier shows up. You know, there's clarity.
You can't do it. You can't jointly file for divorce.
Well, you turn your keys,
I guess it depends
at the same
on
time.
State.
Yeah. Maybe so. All right. So here's the big one for Belichick that is getting a lot of run. This was the interviewer for CBS, whose name escapes me, asking Belichick, where'd you meet Jordan?
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
I love that. I had to leave that in there. She didn't want to talk about it, but she loves those clicks. Yeah.
There's pictures of them canoodling on Instagram and everything, but you can't talk about something as innocent as, hey, how'd you two guys meet? Now, that's the kind of denial that a young, stupid PR person might make if they're being overly aggressive and trying to control the message or whatever, but they don't realize it. In shutting that line of questioning down, it just invites all kinds of speculation.
Yeah.
Like, well, wait a second. Why are you shutting that down?
People are speculating.
I'm going to go digging. Don't look behind this box.
Right.
There's nothing behind this curtain. You're stupid for asking.
Well, the other thing it makes you wonder, especially on the heels of this report about what a nightmare she was during this interview to work with,
yeah.
How many other questions did that guy ask that she jumped in on and said, nope, not going to. Reportedly.
They said it. She was involved multiple times, like kind of stopping the flow of the conversation.
Yeah, and reportedly, like there was supposed to be a second part of this.
Yeah,
and CBS is like, nope. They're like, we'll be lucky to get 8 minutes out of this. You know, like it was so bad. Like that's how it was so bad. CBS said, no, we're not going to do a second one. This was a train wreck.
I like thinking about the book publisher too. When you send the author out to do these interviews and everything to try to hype up the book, and Belichick couldn't look more miserable. Come read my book, I suppose.
It's funny because his it's funny too because his media persona and the persona that granted has been getting displayed through a Jordan Hudson curated filter at North Carolina has been a much peppier, more upbeat Bill Belichick since he left coaching, when he was a different Belichick on television, I thought, certainly than he was in press conferences sit-down interviews, you know.
Now, everybody will tell you that he's different, you know, in different areas of his life. He's more like a normal person. It's just football. He's a football guy. The more and more I feel that Belichick might just be susceptible to a certain type of personality, like with Jack Easterby or with his current girlfriend, where he just wants somebody that can take care of all of those parts of his life that he's not good at. Like
his blind spots.
The social type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think with Easterby, it's almost like he hit the easy button on like, oh, okay, you can have a rapport with players and tell me how they're feeling and act, how to act and everything. And then likewise with Jordan Hudson. Okay, I got to do social media now as a part of being a college coach. Fine. You take care of it. I got to do media. Okay, you take care of it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, that is what it feels like. That's definitely
She's like Easterby with a vagina.
Right. Right, and high knee boots. Don't want to see Easterby in those either.
God, that's hot. Hey, could somebody out there Photoshop me a mashup of Easterby and Jennifer Hudson?
Doing his,
just AI,
doing his, his trip walk in knee-high boots up there on the stage.
People in California are all like, hey, dude.
Oh, God.
That clown ran this team for 2 years.
I might need to go back and watch that today.
And then we were in Houston, and people were all like, boy, howdy.
But they had big belt buckles and cowboy hats. All
I hate him so much. Oh, my gosh.
All right.
River dance all over.
So that was Belichick being petty towards Kraft, and I would say Jordan Hudson being petty towards CBS. We got a few more here. Brandon Bean, the GM of the Buffalo Bills, did an appearance on 5:50 a.m. up in Buffalo on a show hosted by two guys named Jeremy and Joe. And he was listening to their show, the segment before he was coming on, and they were talking about how maybe the Bills hadn't addressed the wide receiver room sufficiently. This was on Monday, I believe. It was after the draft was over. And Brandon Bean, the GM of the Bills, was listening, hearing them criticize the Bills' approach to the wide receiver room, and he came out firing before the first question was even asked in the interview.
We were up late with you on the first round and the second round. It's a busy weekend for you.
Yeah, no, it was. It was. I was just listening to the last few minutes of your show before I came on, waiting on here.
All right.
Sounds like 2018 all over with you guys.
Well, we're very – how so?
Well, you guys were bitching in 2018 about – Josh Allen, you guys wanted Josh Rosen, and now you guys are bitching that we don't have a receiver. I don't get it. Like, we just hold on, let me talk. Scored 30 points in a row for 8 straight games. A year ago, I get you guys asking why we didn't have receivers, but I don't understand it now. You just saw us lead the league in points when you add all the postseason. No one scored more points than the Buffalo Bills, including the Super Bowl champions. So, you just saw us do it without Stephon Diggs, same group. How is this group not better than last year's group? Like, I don't – like, our job is to score points and win games. Where do we need to get better? Defense. We did that. So I get it. You got to have a show, and you got to have something to bitch about. But bitching about wide receiver is one of the dumbest arguments I've heard.
My quick response to that, and I think you agree with this, I try to be pretty cordial and everything, but my quickest response to that would be like, well, we'd like to score more points than the Chiefs. That's what we're hoping to do. I know you scored a lot of points. You guys haven't been able to beat the Chiefs. And yes, I realize defense is an issue because the Chiefs didn't score a lot of points this year in general, and you allowed 32 in that final conference championship game. We just want to score more points than the Chiefs, and we feel like wide receivers would be a good way to go about doing that.
Yeah, yeah. He went on to say in that interview, like, he went to the whole, hey, you got to pick your areas where you spend your resources. We got an all-pro quarterback who we just gave a raise to. We have a really good offensive line that's highly paid. You know, the running back room, you know, he didn't say James Cook, but James Cook is on the verge of, it seems like, holding out for a bigger contract. They got good tight ends. That was sort of his argument for the whole thing. I'm with you. Like, you know, don't tell me about the delivery. Just show me baby, you know?
That was how, because Nick and I will go back and forth on stuff like that because he'll jab at me. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel bad jabbing at him about, like, the time I criticized Kenyon Green and people. The thing that sucks, though, is like whenever you, like Nick and I will go back and forth, immediately there's a faction of the Texans fan base that will grab just whatever I say and act like I was attacking Nick Caserio.
Yeah.
It's always after he says something to me and I need to shut him down.
He started
it. Right. It's like, okay, Nick, you don't, all right, you want to play this game? Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
I'm pretty good when I want to be with that stuff.
Right.
But then I get the psychotics that think I'm just this a-hole out there attacking Nick Caserio.
It's the life you've chosen, my man. This is the life you've chosen.
Yeah. But I side with Billy Beane on that as far as just going out and getting the position. And Billy Beane, too.
Both of them.
If Billy Beane were a football GM.
Was kind of a money ball take by Brandon Beane, right? Like, hey, you can't pay everybody, so you got to, you got to find some things on the margins. Let's read some of the petties here on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Is my take on roster construction petty? It used to be intriguing. Now I'm pissed that it takes so long. Being over 50 makes me realize time is short. That is true. When you hit 50, you're like, man, you do. I thought about this back when I was in my 30s and the Red Sox were still trying to win their first World Series. I thought about my dad, who's a big Red Sox fan. And they just had the series where Aaron Boone hit the home run to break everybody's hearts. And I'm like, God, my poor dad is whatever age he was. I'm like, on average, he's probably only got like 20 more looks at this thing for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I do think about that sometimes.
That's where you see owners start to sometimes, you know, well, speaking of the Bills, Ralph Wilson kind of got to that point where he was towards the end of his days in his owners. I think he sold before he died.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. They started making some pretty aggressive moves. He was like, all right, I gotta get on this.
I want to see this. Yeah.
Take note, Jerry. I don't like what Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Whatever the hell you're doing, that just ain't the plan, man.
Jerry's the opposite. Like, Jerry just waits to sign everybody. Like, you are not operating like somebody
who's
92 years old. No, he needs to speed it up. Yeah.
Operate with a little urgency.
Absolutely. Yeah. Lot of petty. I don't even know if I want to call it petty because I think a lot of it's deserved right now, but it's the petty cast, so I'll call it petty. Towards Jalen Green. Get Jalen off my team. He's been given more than enough time to prove himself. His ceiling is a sixth man. He just doesn't have that, wait for it, it factor. He doesn't have the it factor, Seth.
Yeah.
Nebulous.
Well, I don't even think it's he doesn't even qualify for the it factor discussion.
Correct.
There's you can't even have an argument about whether or not he's got an it factor. I would say because there's a lot of people out there who still adamantly to the death defend Jalen Green, but if they think he's shown ever any kind of an actual it factor, then, you know, more than for one night, he's not even in the conversation.
Yeah. Text message on Ariante Ursary. I'm impressed with Ursary. Great size and strength, but a tackle. I can't quote Seth for sure, but a guard has shorter legs and arms and a bigger butt. If I was CJ Stroud, I would start thinking about my exit strategy.
Oh God! I didn't say that last. I didn't say that last part.
Yeah.
No, if you're saying I said that last part, I've never said anything close to that.
Yeah, they said I can't quote Seth for sure. So they.
I said no. I think the challenge of being a tall guy going down and playing guard is that your height can sometimes be a disadvantage at guard if you don't play low.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a guy like Ursary who does not have great knee bend, you can get away with that at tackle. Ideally, yes, everybody would play exactly like Laremy Tunsil as a pass protector, but he's not that guy. It's just harder to get away with that, the upright play style at guard, because you've got guys that can very much like get up underneath your pads very, very quickly. At offensive tackle, there's space. So it's not that you desire shorter legs or shorter arms. It's just that you've got to be a certain type of guy to be a real tall guy and play guard, and I just don't see that with Ursary.
All right, that was your petty cast. Keep texting in, 713-572-4610. We'll circle back to the Rockets and their loss last night. Were the Texans trying to trade up for an unexpected target in the draft on Friday night? There are plenty of reports of them trying to trade up. Do we now know who they were trying to trade up for? We'll try to connect some dots coming up next.